the FBI in brief and warn. Another great story based on Frederick Yellowstone's copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Peggy. Certify that Alma Gardner has completed the advanced course in stenography in a satisfactory manner, and has complied with the requirements for graduation. Given this,
yeah, but I look more than a five-star.
Oh, why don't you shut up, darling? Given this 15th day of June, 1954. Hmm? How old are you, Alma?
23. I'm 25. He always told me.
I don't think anybody could fool Mr. Farmer.
Well, not more than once they couldn't. You don't wear glasses, Alma.
I told you about that, Phil.
Daddy, I don't know how you ever hold a job with all that money. Now, I like the girls to wear glasses, Alma, and dress real simple.
I understand, Mr. Farmer.
You can call me Phil.
Okay.
Are you rooming with...
Oh, no, Sam, thanks for seeing you.
Oh,
no,
I need a little extra. How much?
100?
It's 50. Drink it up. It's your own fault.
Thanks, Phil. Okay, Al. Nice to meet you, Phil.
Same here, Alma.
And you're a caller.
Yes, any day now.
He's nice. Mm-hmm. So don't get any ideas. What kind of ideas?
She's a darn girl, and she's just as soon have you knocked off if you don't mind your own business.
Well, Alma, just...
Alma, I'm just trying to set you straight. Keep your hands off of him.
Okay. What are you going to do with that biscuit? Keep it? I could use a glass of beer.
Oh, and a quarter. Come on, Daddy, this is a big day.
I just graduated from college, practically.
Okay, I shouldn't, but we'll have a couple of beers by the time you're graduating.
One of the most highly organized crime syndicates ever to come to the attention of our bureau operated in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania from 1951 to 1954. This gang used young women to gather information inside business offices and factories that were to be robbed. The women, working as typists or clerks, noted payroll schedules, drug movements, and other data that enabled the gang to collect almost $1 million in its 3 years of operation.
Hello?
Hello, Donnie. This is Phil. Hello, Alma. They go to the Federal Construction Company at 14th Bank Street tomorrow morning. They need a typist.
Gardner?
Oh, good morning, Mr. Hanson.
How's it going?
Oh, fine, thanks.
You getting used to our routine?
I hope so. But all those special occasions, they kind of throw me.
Oh, don't worry, you'll catch on. When I first came here, I didn't know an I-beam from a steam shovel.
I still don't.
You can have that job we're doing on West Street, and I'll show you the steam shovel.
I've already been there. I'm really impressed with us.
Hi, over there.
How many men do they have on that job?
205.
Oh, that must be some payroll.
$21,408.09 last Friday.
That's for 9 cents.
Well, you see, when my department makes up the figures.
Oh, it's all right. I was on the same street.
Oh. I'm sorry, I'm kind of dumb.
I don't think so at all.
Well, you're very kind, Miss Dodger. Can I take you out to lunch?
Is that allowed around here?
I don't see why not. As long as we don't stay more than an hour.
Okay, Mr. Hanson, if you insist, I guess a new employee can't say no.
I'll meet you downstairs in the lobby at 12.
How well know you?
Oh, you know me, yes. Oh. I'll wear a white carnation.
Okay, Mr. Hanson. I'll see you for lunch.
Company had just been robbed of $40,000 worth of furs in transit. The perfect timing of the job pointed to someone on the inside who might have provided information as to the movements of the company truck. Agent Reynolds and I talked with Mr. Matthews, the office manager.
Yes, I suppose that is possible, but I just can't imagine anyone in this office would be connected with a hold-up gang. It's just a little incredible, it seems to me.
Where do you get your office help, Mr. Matthews?
Employment agencies want ads, or sometimes we get them directly from the stenographic school.
Do you have a large turnover?
Well, normal, I'd say. Women need to get married or have babies or just get restless, but I'd say we don't do too badly.
Have you taken out any new help in the last 6 months, Mr. Matthews?
Oh, yes. 3 or 4 new girls. We're opening another warehouse downtown, so we sent our older employees down there.
Could we have a list of the employees, Mr. Matthews?
Well, of course, but it seems to me.
Yes.
Well, I just don't see how anyone in this office could be useful to a gang.
We're not sure there is anyone, Mr. Matthews. But you make up the invoices here. You type out shipping orders. You make up inventories for your insurance company before any truck goes out.
Yes, I see. It's possible. But I just can't believe it.
We've already got a list of the other employees. Truck drivers, dispatchers, warehouses.
I'll send my list to your office this afternoon.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Matthews.
You're welcome. But I still don't see how it's possible. In the movies or in a book, all right, but this is just a plain, ordinary business office, and we have a bunch of plain, ordinary people. Just look at them on your way out. You'll see what I mean.
When we had compiled a list of the employees, we began a financial check of every person on it. We were looking for any sudden increase in bank accounts or advanced scale of living.
So, when does Phil pay off?
Any day now.
If you keep right on working down at the first floor of the place,
you surely can't quit after you pull a job and you're just busy. Say a few months and you find yourself going to get married.
Well, what would your share be, Dottie?
$3,000.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's keeping warm this winter.
Yeah.
Still says when they take my place.
When did you see him, Elmo?
Now, don't get excited.
I'm not excited. I'm just trying to tell you.
Look, I bumped into him at the bar downstairs, but it's just accidental.
Yeah, especially when he lives over on the other side of town.
Daddy, why don't you mind your own business?
Because you're my friend, and you're walking into something that's too big for you.
I can take care of myself.
Elmo,
listen. You think I like that big cat like this? He's a poppy to have a lot of money. That's what I like.
Oh, my honey.
He's no different from the rest of them. They're all a bunch of no good. They give you a lot of sweet talk and leave you flat when they're through. I used to take that kind of stuff. Now I'm giving it. If he can do me some good, I don't care who we've tied up with.
Oh, Ryan. Jesse's no use arguing.
There isn't. It's because that female of his knows a few tough characters. Isn't going to make me fold up.
Okay, but don't say anything to tell you.
What's so terrific about her? She's been kicking around for 35 years. You ask me, it's giving Phil a break to get rid of her.
You don't get rid of a girl like that so easy,
we'll see. Hey, look at the time. We've got to get to work.
Well, you go ahead. I'll put these in the safe.
Will you, honey? Thanks a lot. I don't want to be late.
Okay.
Oh, Dad, you're a real friend.
Yeah, but you won't listen to them, will you?
Uh-uh, not on my subject. When it comes to men, I like to take care of myself.
As we began our investigation of the floor robbery, another holdup was being planned by the gang. This time, it was to be a payroll job at the site of a large construction project.
Well, gee, I should think it would be fair to risk you paying off all those men and that little construction truck.
Oh, I don't think so. They do have a guard.
Oh.
I'll admit he's kind of old, but he's got a gun. I guess he knows how to use it.
Well, that's better. Could I have one more cup of coffee, Joyce?
You sure could. 2 more coffees, please.
Have we got time?
Oh, we'll be 5 minutes late.
Why, George.
What are they going to do, fire us?
You know, I can't figure what's come over you all of a sudden.
Nothing's come over me. It's just, spring fever, maybe.
Could be.
Alma, I told the family about you. I want to meet you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think you'd like them.
Well, sure I would.
Will you come some night to dinner?
Of course.
All right. I'll ask Mother and let you know.
Sure, George, but do you think...
They'll be delighted with me.
They will.
I guarantee it.
Okay, if that's the way you feel, it's all right with me. But I've never met anybody's family before. I might be kind of nervous.
I'll hold your hand, Elm.
All right, George. I guess that's what it is.
After several weeks of investigation, our attention began to center on one employee of the First Storage Company who was obviously living above her salary of $58 a week. Her name was Dorothy Tabor. She had been with the company for 6 months. She lived in a three-room apartment with another girl who worked for a large construction company.
All right, now the old guy goes to the bank with a cashier from the construction company.
What does he?
Same time every week?
Practically. The payroll's always in the stock 5-3-3.
All right, now this old guy, this guard, he's got a gun?
Yes.
Does he wear it under his coat or outside?
Well, I don't know. You didn't tell me.
All right, you find that out, huh?
I will.
Now, the stack where they pay the men.
It's just a small office. They pay through the window and the men line up outside. There's only one door to the stack and the old guard stays inside.
You've got a good eye, huh?
And that's the gun.
You didn't know what he wanted it. Now, when his workman looks at the window.
This one says his name and gets a workman.
They got this done.
Well, I know. The chap in the accounting department is in some suit. I keep telling him I'm crazy for watching buildings go up, so he shows me around the job during lunch hour.
You're kind of attracted to me, huh?
Do you think so?
Yes.
Okay. If that's all you need me for.
Yes, sir.
Well, aren't you expecting something?
What something?
You usually just get around this time for dinner, don't you?
Yes, but I told her I'd be fine.
How did you know I wouldn't be?
Well, I just thought I'd take a chance.
That's bad.
That's what I mean. Well, where would you like to go for dinner?
Spencer's place on 12th Street.
That's where I take her.
I know it is.
She'd be there, you mean?
Why not, she could.
You don't want to go to Tony's?
No.
All right, we'll go to Vincent's place.
Yes.
You know, you've got a lot of nerve,
Alma. Oh, not particularly. I just know what I want, that's all.
When it became apparent that Dorothy Tabor had an unexplained source of income, we wanted to find out whether she had ever had a criminal record. With the cooperation of Mr. Matthews at the First Storage Company, Agent Reynolds posed as a volunteer worker for a local civil defense unit. He was allowed to interview all the employees.
This is Miss Tabor, Mr. Reynolds, from our stenographic section. Come in, Miss Tabor. Sit down, would you?
Thank you.
I understand you'd like to work in our civil defense unit, but you're not quite sure if you'd have the time.
Well, it's not that. It's, well, I don't know quite how long I'll be with the company. I haven't told them yet, but I may at least get married.
Well, good for you. I'll tell you what. We'll put you on a temporary basis, then if you move, we can transfer you to another unit, okay?
Well, I guess so.
Fine. Now, I've got most of the information I need on your employment record. Could you tell me your next of kin, Miss Tabor?
Nobody, really. My family was in California, but became my uncle there.
Well, that would be.
I don't know where he is.
I see.
Maybe I will be too busy.
You happen to know your blood type, Miss Taylor?
No, I don't. I'm strong.
Well, it's all right. Between you and me, we really don't need all of this, but I have to go through it. Oh, there is one thing. Fingerprints. Have you ever been fingerprinted, worked for the armed forces or the government?
No, I haven't. I really don't think I want to be fingerprinted.
It's nothing,
huh? No, but I just don't like the idea.
Well, it's nothing. All you do.
I'm really sorry. I'm not going to have enough time to business around. I'd like to help you people, but I'm pretty sure I'm leaving for a couple of weeks, and I just have to
stop. Okay. We won't push you. Thanks for coming in anyway.
Well,
maybe you'll join a unit near your home after you get married.
Yes, I'll be out.
Thank you, Miss Taylor.
That's all right. Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
Let's see. just talked with her. Looks very interesting. She got in a panic when I suggested the fingerprint. Yeah? Yeah, I'm going to do that as soon as the office closes. I'll see you later. Agent Reynolds obtained a set of Dorothy Tabor's fingerprints from a drinking glass on her desk. The print showed that Miss Tabor had a record dating from the age of 17. She had served 3 years in prison for passing bad checks and was known to have close connections in criminal circles.
And then some nights, Dottie cooks and I do the dishes, and some nights in the day. You'd like Dottie, George.
Oh, I'm sure I would.
Who works for the first storage company, where they have that big write-up paper month ago.
Oh, is that so?
Some excitement, Dottie said. This check was taken right in broad daylight, practically under the window, and she didn't even know what was going on. What are we shopping for?
I thought maybe we'd look at the ocean a while, if you don't mind.
Of course I don't mind.
This is one of my favorite places. I come out here on Saturday afternoon to swim.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. I like swimming.
Me too. The water's nice and cold.
Cold? Mm, no thanks.
You don't like it when it's cold?
Mm-mm.
I do. I think you're a good cold dip.
Yeah.
Well, what I mean...
Yeah?
How much?
Go ahead, George. You can
take me. Alma, will you marry me?
What?
Marry me.
George.
Oh, I know I'm not making much money, but if I had an incentive, I'd have someone to work for.
George,
I'd...
Don't waste your breath. I don't want to marry anybody.
No?
It's not because I don't like you, George.
Is there someone else?
No. The field is wide open, and that's the way I want to keep it.
But,
Michael, you've got a whole great big ocean out there, and moonlight and the world. Don't waste it, George, talking about anything foolish. No, Alex.
Shortly after Agent Reynolds thought with Dottie Tabor, he quit her job. We had her under surveillance and noted that her friends included a well-known gangster and, one afternoon at a bar, this gangster's girlfriend.
She invited you to have a drink?
Yeah, at the bar of the hotel where she lives.
Well, what for? I didn't think she'd been lured.
I don't.
Well, what for?
I know you. Alma, she said it right out in black and white. She's telling you to keep away from Phil.
Yeah.
You mean that?
But she paid for the drink.
Hey, Alma, don't be wise. She's not paying for fun.
Neither am I. You want to hear what she told me?
No.
She said, tell her if she doesn't stop seeing her, she's going to wake up some morning with a bullet through her head. Now, Alma, she means it.
Okay, she means it.
This is $1,000. She can have anybody taking care of.
Oh, right, I heard you.
What are you doing now? I'm going to see if there's anything in the icebox. I haven't had any supper.
Right, I won't argue with you. You're seeing it.
With sufficient material on Dottie Tabor's background, we decided to question her about the fur company robbery. Seems to be the logical move under the circumstances.
Okay, thank you. Yes?
Hello, Dottie.
Join me?
No, you don't. Where is your girlfriend, Alma?
Well, we're just taking the seat.
Yes, you're right.
Listen. What do you want? Who are you?
I want your girlfriend, Alma. Where is she?
She's out right now.
Okay. I'll
wait. Well, you're going to tell me who you are. I'm afraid you were
there. That's right. Hello, Alma.
That's not Alma. That's her.
Yes, sir. Only Alma got pointed out to me at the hotel bar a couple of days ago, and I just knew she looked like. Alma, you want me going to ride the car if I got to me? Stay where you are. It'll be the same for you. Alma.
I talk to somebody, they do what I tell them.
Next week's story, The Family Tree, on the FBI in Peace and War.